Dear precious souls of God, we hope you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
But in the subject of forgiveness, you know, ladies and gentlemen, no human being, as I was in the memorial service on Friday, I told them that the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I listened to me. Amen. And I was explaining to them that death has a sting. And what does that mean? It means that death is not something that is enjoyable. Death is not nice. Death is painful. Death brings emotions of grief, of sorrow. You know, I've been to funerals where, you know, some of the Christians, they turn the funeral to a celebration. It's good, I don't have a problem. But sometimes it's so celebratory that it almost looks fake. Because no matter who you are, no matter how much faith you have, when you lose someone you love, it's painful. That's why you see the patriarchs going into mourning in the Old Testament when they lost loved ones. Because you need some time to process what you have gone through. Are you listening to me? When my father passed away in 2014, I remember we were going, preparing for the funeral. And I remember when we went to go choose the coffin, I remember I didn't want to say a word in terms of we must pick this one or that one. Because it felt to me that if I choose or pick a coffin, it means I accept his death. And it was hard for me to accept that my father was no more. Do you understand what I'm saying? So death has a sting. Death is painful. So also, when somebody hurts you, you feel the sting of that hurt. Some people even suffer because of what other people have done for them. And like I explained last week, that the most painful thing is who is the one that is implementing the pain in your life? Who is the one that is betraying you? Because if you are betrayed by someone you don't know, it's not so painful. But if you are betrayed by someone you know, someone you live with, someone who is a trusted person, and that person turns to hurt you in one way or another, that is very painful. That is very difficult to forgive. Are you listening to me, somebody? But I encourage you, as I encouraged you last week, we are to forgive. Tell a neighbor, say, we are to forgive. Especially when you are a believer, when you are a Christian who lives by the word of God, you have to forgive. It must be in your nature to forgive. If you are an individual who cannot forgive, you must learn to forgive. You must learn to let go of the pain. You must learn to keep moving forward without the pain being a heavy burden in your life. Last week I showed you about the life of Absalom. How that Absalom's sister was raped by their half-brother. And you and I can agree that rape is not something that is nice. Rape is something that nobody should experience in this life. Tamar was raped, and more painful than anything else, she was raped by her brother. What a shock. Raped by a brother, her own brother from the same father. And you saw how that incident began to turn Absalom and change him and transform him to be something that is despicable. The event that happened was wrong, but because somebody took the decision not to forgive, Somebody took the decision to harbor and nurture and feed that anger. It turned that person to be a murderer. For 2 years, he was feeding the pain. To the point that it gave him the mind that I will kill this guy. And if that was not enough, he turned against his father, plotted to take the kingdom away from his father. His father had to run away from his own son. You know, when we used to stay in Pietermaritzburg, I remember my father, we had a neighbor, and this particular neighbor and my father, every time there was a soccer game, at halftime, my father would go to the fence, and this neighbor would also come and join him in the fence, and they'll start discussing the game. And then they will break and go and watch again. And then when the match is finished, they'll go back and meet and discuss the second half. Hey! And I heard that this neighbor, his son, you know, got involved in the criminal life and got arrested. And if memory serves me right, he ran away from prison. And I hear that he took, you know, English will fail me today, but some kind of metal, you know, when you take an extension cord, those yellow, blue, and brown cables within the extension cord, he took them and made them a whip, and he whipped his father. He whipped his father. Absalom had become that type of individual that his father had to run away from him. Then, to make matters worse, his father's helpers, I'll call them helpers today, were left to take care of his father's house. Solomon took them to the top of the house, Absalom I mean, and he began to have his way with them in public for everybody to see. All this behavior because he was harboring unforgiveness. You see, when you don't take the decision to forgive, it changes you. It changes your nature. It changes your character. And it makes you a total opposite of God. A total opposite of what God expects you to be and wants you to be. You rather start developing the nature of Satan, because the Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And this is what Absalom was now doing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So I said that just to give us some background of what we are talking about. I want you to come with me quickly to the book of Luke. Are you here? Tell a neighbor, say, I'm happy that you are seated next to me. Luke chapter 5. We are reading from verse 17. Luke chapter 5. We are reading from verse 17. Are you there? The Bible says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. In other words, he was a paralytic. He was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and led him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he arose and he arose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Put your hands together for the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, last week, I began to tell you that when you are hurt or betrayed or some kind of pain has been inflicted upon you, more especially by a loved one, you have two decisions to make. The one decision, you can choose to be a victim, to harbor the pain, to cry tears, to go through all that a victim would experience. Or you can choose the position of power to say, okay, this has happened. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. But moving forward, I will decide what happens from now on. Are you still with me? If you remember, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve betrayed God. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Adam and Eve hurt God when they decided to side with Satan and ate from the tree which they were not supposed to eat. God was pained. God was grieved. Furthermore, in the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us that angels came down to the earth and saw the ladies on the earth, and they said, Wow, God has kept this from us. And the Bible says angels began to marry the women of the earth and started having children with those women, and those children became giants. Biblically, there were giants who once walked the earth, and proper giants, not today's giants who look like they're about to die. Proper giants. One of them was Goliath. Goliath's bed was the size of your room. His bed was the size of your room. He was a real giant. Hallelujah. When God started looking at these things, the Bible even goes to say that God was grieved that he made man. Other version says, God... My English has run away. God regretted that he made man. But with all those things, instead of him being a victim, instead of him becoming angry and destroying the world, because he can destroy it with the flick of a finger, he decided to take the position of strength and of power. And he sent his only begotten son to come and be forgiveness unto us. Are you still with me? So I want to encourage you and want to show you that when you are hurt, You do not have to be a victim. You do not have to be a victim. You can choose the position of strength and of power. Are you listening to me? You can decide. There are many people whose lives have been destroyed because they chose to be a victim. There are many people whose lives have been destroyed because they didn't take the decision to rise out of the pain that they experienced. Some people have even decided to be criminals because they decided to be victims and nursed the pains of their past. But I want to let you know that you've got two options every time something happens to you. That's why the Bible says, and to him that overcometh. That's why the Bible says, you have overcome the world. In other words, things are going to happen to you, but you must choose to be on top. Amen. You must choose to be the head and not the tail. Amen. You must choose to have victory. Amen. I cannot guarantee you that you will not experience pain in life. I would be a liar, because even our Savior, he experienced pain. Even our Savior was betrayed. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own knew him not. The Bible says he came unto his own, and they received him not. He was rejected. The very same people he came to save are the very same people who put him on the cross and were hungry for his death. But even though he was on the cross, he looked at them and he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing. So in his pain, in his sorrow, he took the position of strength. He didn't see himself as a victim. Your amens are too soft. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Many people, their beds have become crying rooms, because they take the position of a victim. I know life knocks you at times. There are times that life knocks you so hard that you ask yourself, will I be able to rise out of this? But choose the position of strength. Can I hear a proper amen? Can I hear an amen with faith in it? Amen. Choose the position of strength. Amen. Choose the position of strength. Amen. Choose the position of life. Amen. Choose to keep moving forward. Choose to keep soldiering forward. Amen. Are you listening to me, somebody? Amen. Oh, that the Holy Spirit will write my words in your heart. That you'll always remember that I can decide to sit and cry and have a cry party. Or I can say, this has happened to me, but I move on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what I want to show you today is that the power that is in forgiveness is the power to restore. Someone said the power to restore. This is why I love forgiveness. When you choose to be a forgiver, it means that you are empowering yourself with the grace to restore people. When people do wrong things, most of the time, they will suffer for those wrong things. It's a reality. For example, God forbid. Say God forbid. Say I do something to my wife. Like what, Mam Ruti? Say, for example, I start seeing a sister moving around. You know? And I start following that sister. Will that not pain my wife? Will it not hurt her? It can get to a point where my wife says, no, I don't want to be with you anymore. And she can take out the ring that I gave her and say, donkey, you can keep your ring. What a shock. Now, my foolishness would have caused me to lose a relationship. My immaturity would have caused me to lose a wife. My lack of discipline would break my family apart. My daughter will start living with either a mother or a father. She will not have the grace of growing up with a father and a mother. A family would have been broken because of one foolish act. I stood together. But if my wife takes the decision that, okay, you have wronged me, but I choose to forgive you, she will restore me to be a husband again. She will restore me to be a father again. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. So the power that is in forgiveness is the power to restore. It is the power to mend something that was broken. It is the power to build something that was broken. That's the strength that is in forgiveness. The Bible says that Adam was a son of God. In other words, any children that Adam and Eve were going to have, all those children were going to be sons of God. But when Adam fell into sin, the Bible says that he started producing offspring that looked like Adam. In other words, they became fleshly. They became earthy. In other words, they lost any resemblance of God. So you and I, even though we were not born then, and it is Adam who sinned against God, but because we all come from him, we all lost our position of sonship. We all lost the position of being a son of God. But because God took the decision to forgive us, we were restored. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell a neighbor, say we were restored. That's the power of forgiveness. Some of us sitting here may have lost a son because we could not forgive. Some of us sitting here, we've lost relationships because we could not forgive. Some of us sitting here, we have lost friends because we could not forgive. Some of us have lost colleagues, employees. People keep losing things because they cannot forgive. But when you take the decision to forgive, you restore. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Come with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15. The power to restore. Luke, chapter 15, from verse 11. Are you there? Luke chapter 15 from verse 11 to verse 24. The Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Have you seen what pigs eat? Huh? This guy was hungry for food that pigs eat. Someone say Jesus. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Hallelujah. So you see this young man, how he hurt his father. He said to his father, my daddy, I've been waiting for you to die, but you are not dying. You know, there are family members who are fighting for the family home. They can't wait for people to die. I know you don't know what I'm talking about. This young man said, look, it looks like you are not ready to die anytime soon. I can't wait for you to die before I get my inheritance. I want to enjoy life now. I want to live my best life now. So give me what I would have received if you died. Give it to me now. And his father, you know, gave it to him. Soon I will teach you about what I call the dynamics of forgiveness. His father just gave him. And the guy took the money. And the Bible says he wasted it with riotous living. He was the life of the party. You know, one of my colleagues told me that there was a soccer player called Katlego Mpila. Do you know him? A former Sundown soccer player. Apparently that gentleman, when he came to a party, he would buy everyone alcohol. Everyone. So when he came to the party, everyone would be happy. Today we are going to drink for free. This prodigal son was like that Katlego Mpila. What a shock. But the Bible says a pandemic hit those times. Whether it was coronavirus, we don't know. But it was a pandemic. And things became horrible. Everybody lost everything. And this young man, because he was wasteful in his living, he had nothing to sustain himself anymore. He began to suffer bitterly to the point that even to eat was a problem. Then one day he remembered his father and he said, man, I left my father's house. And he said, the servants of my father are living better than how I'm living today. And he said to himself, I will go back to my father and ask him to forgive me. So he ran to his father. And the Bible says that his father saw him from a distance. When his father saw him, he said, that one, he walks like he's my son. He walks like my son. And when he noticed that it is his son, The Bible says his father ran towards him, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son said to the father, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Do you know the father's response? He called his servants and he said, bring the best robe. The robe was a symbol of sonship. If you remember Joseph, Joseph was given a coat of many colors by his father. That robe is a symbol of sonship. The father said, give him a ring. That ring is a symbol of sonship. In other words, that father restored his son back to the position of being a son in his house. Amen. If you are putting your hands together for Jesus, do it well. So the power that is in forgiveness is the ability to restore someone. Tomorrow you may become a boss somewhere. And one of the things that you realize is that there are people who just have the anointing to destroy their lives. There are people who have that anointing. When you pay them and give them money, something has happened. For the next week, you won't see them at work. When the money has run out, then they come back humble, humble like nobody's business. Humble people. Sometimes as a boss, you must be hard. But sometimes you must remember that if I forgive, I save their job. I save their families. I save their children. Forgiveness has the power to restore. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. Someone said the power to restore. I pray in the name of Jesus that many lives will be restored today. Amen. Agatha was saying something. She said we must thank God for the things he does for his name's sake. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible says that he forgives us and he forgets about what he did for his own sake. Sometimes we have to forgive for our own sake. For our own sake. For yourself. Because if you don't forgive, that thing is going to destroy you. So we have to learn to forgive for our own sakes. Hallelujah. Now before I close, I want to show you one more thing. In the book of Luke chapter 5 that we read, the Bible shows us a scenario, a scene. It sets for us a scene where there's this man who is a paralytic and his friends carry him with his bed and they bring him to the place where Jesus is. Are we still together? When they got there, you know, because Jesus was heavily anointed, John the Baptist said about him that he has the spirit without measure. When God anoints us, there are limits to our anointing. But Jesus' anointing had no limit. He had the spirit without measure. Are you listening to me? So obviously, anywhere he went, he was magnetic. People wanted to hear what he was saying. People just wanted to touch him because of the oil that was on him. So they brought him to Jesus and the place was filled to the point that the house was overflowing. And they knew that the only solution for this, our friend, is if he comes into the midst of Jesus. So they decided to climb. Only God knows how they could climb the house and carry a paralyzed person on top of the house. And their boldness to start tearing apart somebody's house. It's not their house. It's somebody's house. They take out the tiles and they break the ceilings. Now imagine Jesus preaching, God loves you. God sent me for you. And the house is busy being torn apart. And as this is happening, suddenly a bird starts coming down. And they laid in front of Jesus' feet. When Jesus saw that, he didn't say, "You people are disturbing me." He said, "This is faith." And he was encouraged by the faith. But the interesting thing is that he didn't say, "In the name of Jesus, I command your feet to receive strength." He didn't say that. He didn't speak in tongues. No. He didn't fast for 3 days and three nights. He said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." When he said those words, the paralysis let go of that man. He received strength and he began to walk. Ladies and gentlemen, there are things in our lives that have become paralyzed because we will not forgive. Now, I've never been paralyzed, but lately I've been meditating of what does paralysis feel like? And the only thing I can think of is that thing they call schateli. Am I saying it correctly? Schateleti. Have you experienced that thing? When you feel that thing, I don't know what it's called in English. Someone said it's a nightmare. I don't think it's a nightmare. It's sleep paralysis. All right. Sleep paralysis. It depends which school you went to. Then you'll know sleep paralysis. Hallelujah. When I think it's a spiritual attack. When you are experiencing that thing, you tell your hand, move. The hand says, "I'm not going anywhere." You tell your feet, move. And the feet say, "I'm not going anywhere." I think that's how paralysis feels like. I don't know, someone who has been paralyzed would know better. But there are times in your life where you are saying, "Job, come." The job says, I'm not coming close to you. When I say, "Promotion, come!" You say, "Uh-uh." When you say, "Marriage, come!" You are a paralyzed person spiritually. Because there are some problems that don't need fasting. Because if it needed fasting, Jesus would have said. Because there was an incident like that where Jesus was coming from a mountain and his disciples were praying, "Loose, come out, loose, come out," and nothing happened. Then Jesus said to him, "This one needs fasting, this one." But that paralytic who was brought, he never said anything about fasting. He said, "This one needs forgiveness." Tell him, never say, "It needs forgiveness." You know, one day, there was a certain man of God called John G. Lake. John G. Lake was a fantastic man of God. He was an American, a wealthy gentleman, and he got born again and started serving God. Then one day, everybody in his family started dying one by one. And one particular time, his own wife started being very sick. And in his days, there was a giant of faith called Alexander Dowie. Now, this guy was so anointed that he can say, "Rain, come down now," and it will rain. Alexander Dowie. And Alexander Dowie was so full of faith, he bought land. And he built a city. And he said, "In this city, if you are not a Christian, don't even come close. Only Christians live in this city." And so, John G. Lake took his dying wife to Alexander Dowie. And the man just prayed a simple prayer and the wife was healed. When John Chilake saw that, he was electrified with faith. He said, I want that thing that is in this man. Because I've been praying for my wife. I've been interceding. But this guy called Alexander Dowie, he just prayed a simple prayer and the wife came back. And so to cut the long story short, John Chilake started asking God for the anointing. And the anointing came upon him so strong. And God sent him to South Africa. He is the founder of Assemblies of God. And if I'm not mistaken, an apostolic faith mission. John Chilake. Ladies and gentlemen, one day, you know, John Chilake had such a strong healing anointing that where he lived, there was always people, a queue of people waiting for him that he would just lay his hands on them and they'll be healed. So him and his wife used to pray for people. There was a long line of people and they'll come in one by one. They'll pray, the person will get healed and leave. And they would do that every single day. Even if he travels and goes overseas, the people will stand in his house and wait for him to come back. That's how anointed he was. Then one particular day, there was a person that came, and John Chilake, anointed person. I mean, to explain how anointed he was, there was a disease in his days that was an incurable disease, something like HIV. And John Chilake said, this disease cannot exist in me. It cannot live in me. And he challenged the scientists of his day. And they cut him here a little bit and put blood that was infected with this disease. This is a true story. I'm not telling you a myth. And they put the blood that had this disease and they watched what was happening with the telescope. I don't know what they call. Ingi?
Microscope.
And when they looked, they saw John Chilake's blood attacking the disease. And the blood started killing the disease. I'm just trying to explain how anointed this man was. One day he was praying, and while in a prayer meeting, God took him in the spirit. And he saw himself in the United Kingdom. And he laid hands he found himself in a hospital and the person who was dying. He laid hands on the person and the person was immediately healed. When that person got healed, God took him and brought him back to South Africa and he continued his prayer meeting. I'm just explaining how anointed this guy was. One day, they called him and they said, there's a problem. And there was this big man, muscular man with six packs, tricep, bicep, everything. And he was demon possessed. Anyone who would come close, he would just beat them up. Then they called John Chilake. When John Chilake came in, the guy who was beating everyone up, said, hey, sorry. Anointed. So one particular day, somebody came to his home so that he can receive prayer and healing through this man of God. And John Chilake, remember how I explained how anointed he is, laid hands on this man and nothing happened. The sickness remained. He laid hands again, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Nothing happened. So John Chilake's wife took this person and they went to another room. And that woman was very prophetic. And God spoke to her and said, the reason why this gentleman will not be healed is because he is harboring unforgiveness. If he decides to forgive, I will heal him. So John Chilake's wife told him and said, sir or lady, whatever it was, said, there's someone that you will not forgive. If you forgive that person, God will heal you. And that person broke down and started confessing what happened to them and that they were not forgiving that person. And he forgave that person. After they forgave that person, they brought him back to John G. Lake. He put his hand on the person. The person was immediately healed and he went home. So there is a chance that that paralyzed area in your life may be as a result of unforgiveness. There is a chance that when you are trying to fight and make things work and happen, they are not happening because you are holding a grudge and you will not let it go. And you are feeding it daily. There is a chance. That's why Jesus said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And immediately the gentleman was healed. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, unforgiveness is destructive. Do you know what happened to Absalom? One day, as he was chasing his father, Absalom was a very handsome gentleman. The Bible says he had long hair. When the ladies saw him, they became weak. So one day he was riding on his horse, chasing his father, being fueled with rage and unforgiveness, because I think that he was also angry with his father that my brother raped my sister and you didn't do anything. So he was chasing his father. And the Bible says his long hair was caught on a tree. And the horse went. You know, sometimes the Bible is like a movie. And his horse left and he was left hanging there by his hair. Absalom. And then one guy went and ran to Job, who was David's general. He said, "Hey, I saw Absalom hanging with his hair." And Job said, "And you didn't kill him, sis." And he took some arrows and pierced Absalom and killed him. And that, if that was not enough, when he was already dead, people came and started cutting him with a sword. Unforgiveness brings destruction. Your life, even though you are not the one who has done anything wrong, understand me. And I don't condone anyone who has done anything wrong to you. It's wrong. But also you, if you don't forgive, it can destroy you and your life. Are you listening to me, somebody? I pray that somebody is being healed from paralysis today. That your life is being healed from today. In the name of Jesus. As you decide to forgive. Tell your neighbor, say, "Decide to forgive." Tell them it's good for you. Tell them forgive for your own sake. For your own sake. Yeah. For your own sake. Because it's destroying you. And the person who has hurt you is busy moving in life. Playing soccer. It's moving on. And you are dying slowly but surely. Your life is fading away slowly but surely. So for your own sake, let go.
Amen.
For your own sake, forgive. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
Have you learned something today? Next week, I'm going to talk about forgiving God. It's a very wild topic.
Amen.
And then maybe, God willing, the week after that, I'm going to talk about the dynamics of forgiveness. Because there are things that I say that I need to explain them further so that you can understand forgiveness. I pray, don't miss this series. It's very important.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet. Let's celebrate the Lord. Put your hands together for Him as you rise to your feet and thank Him for what you have had. Hallelujah. Can you see that there is power in forgiveness? That's why I'm teaching about the power of forgiveness. There is the power to restore. There is the power to restore. May your life be restored today. May your families be restored today. May your relationships be restored today. May your finances be restored today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May your health be restored today. May anything that has been affected by unforgiveness, may God restore it today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, someone may be asking themselves, Pastor, but what about the person who has hurt me? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Leave them to the Lord. The Lord will handle them in his own way. Vengeance is mine. You, your job is to forgive. 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 And forgiveness is an event that happens in the heart. You don't have to go to the person to say, you know, my friend, I forgive you. You hurt me that day. Salong humata man. I forgive you, ne? Ne, I forgive you. That time the person, you know, because sometimes people won't, you say, I forgive you. They say, I don't care. Then the thing is multiplied. You become even angrier. So it's not about trying to go to someone to make them feel that I forgive you. It's an event that happens in your heart. Lord, the person wronged me. The person hurt me. It's painful. But today I release them. I forgive them. And you'll feel a burden lifting off you. And you'll feel that you'll be free from that heavy weight that you've been carrying because of what someone has done for you. Against you, I mean to say. So that's all that God wants from you. God doesn't expect you to be best friends with the person that has hurt you. God doesn't expect, he just wants you to forgive, to let it go, to set yourself free from that pain. Are you listening to me, somebody? And if you have the strength, you can restore the person. If you have the strength. Ah, you stop saying amen. You can restore the person. There is power in you to restore. You can restore your child. You can restore your friend. You can restore your husband, your wife. You can restore. But that one is up to you. That's why God, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever you forgive will be forgiven. Whoever you do not forgive will not be forgiven. That power is in your hands. That power. That power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when I preach, I know that the Holy Spirit has been ministering to somebody today. I just want you to raise your voice and talk to the Lord. Some of us, our lives have been paralyzed. And when I speak, it's like I'm speaking to you directly. Talk to the Lord. Forgive. Let go of whatever it is. Are you listening to me? Some of you, you know that you need to restore your daughter. You know that you need to restore your son. You need to forgive. Because if you don't forgive them, they will not have a parent. If you don't forgive them, they will remain lost forever. You must forgive. Open your mouth and begin to talk to the Lord. Whatever is in your heart, begin to share it to the Lord. Present it to your God. And ask him to help you to let go. Ask him to deliver you from that paralytic state that you find yourself in. Talk to the Lord. He is here. He is good. He loves you dearly. And he wants you to be delivered and set free from unforgiveness, from that pain. He wants you to live your best life. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word that you have given us. And Lord, we want to thank you that when we sinned, you decided to forgive us. You decided to restore us. And Lord, it was not just you saying, I forgive you. You showed your forgiveness with actions. You sent your only son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for us. Oh, what a lovely Father you are. We thank you for restoring us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for caring for us. And Lord, today we want to say, even us, we want to have the same character and nature that you have. We want to forgive anybody who has wronged us, anybody who has hurt us. Lord, today we release them in the name of Jesus. Today we forgive in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, if any life has been paralyzed because of unforgiveness, set them free today as they begin to forgive in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the whole church will say aloud, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus and celebrate him. What a good God we have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before you take your seat with every eye closed, perhaps you are here, you are not born again, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never taken the decision to say, I receive Jesus into my heart, that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I want to be a child of God. If you're here like that and you're saying, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus today. I want to be born again today. Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You're here, you're saying, Pastor, I want to be born again today. I want to receive Jesus. Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Don't be afraid. This is not between you and anybody else. It is between you and the Lord. You are here, you want to be born again. Thank you, I see that hand. You want to receive Jesus into your heart. Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Thank you, I see those hands. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Holy Son, we thank you for the hands that are lifted up. They are not being lifted up to a man, but they are being lifted up to you. And I remind you of what is written in your word. You said that if anyone comes to you, you will never reject them. You will never turn them away. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers who lifted up their hands, I'd like you to come to the front quickly. Let me pray with you. Please put your hands together for them as they come. Encourage them as they come. Oh, keep encouraging them. It's a powerful step that they are taking. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You can stand right in front of me and face me. Amen. We're going to pray a very simple prayer. By the time you finish this prayer, God himself will claim you for himself, that you belong to him. Amen. I want you to pray these words after me and say what I'm saying, and the whole church can join us in this prayer. Let's all lift our hands to Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the word I've received today. Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came to this earth to die for my sins. Lord, I believe that you died and on the third day you rose from the dead. In the name of Jesus, I believe that you are no longer dead, but you are alive and you are seated at the right hand side of the Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want the whole church to stretch their hands towards these two gentlemen, and I want everybody to pray for them and ask the Lord to touch their lives, ask the Lord to fill them with the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to preserve them, and ask the Lord to keep them, and ask the Lord to preserve their destinies and their futures, so that what God had destined them to be, they will become. Open your mouth, begin to pray for them. If you are a parent, pray for them as though they are your children. If you're a lady, pray for them as though it's your brother and your sister. Pray from the bottom of your heart. Father, we pray for these two young men. We thank you that they have come to you today. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that the blood of Jesus will begin to speak on their behalf. We dip them in the precious blood of the Lamb, and we decree and declare that every agenda of darkness concerning these lives has been canceled in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that from today, they are removed from the deep miry clay and they are placed on the King's highway. We decree that their future is bright and they shall become what God has destined them to become. We ask that you deliver them from premature death. We speak life. And Father, we ask that you fill them with the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit will begin to guide them into the life that you have destined for them. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to go and see that sister over there, the one wearing red. Mukhadi just waved to them. She will talk to you for 2 minutes. Put your hands together for them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you happy that you came to church today?
Amen.
Glory be to God. You may be seated for 2 minutes. We are about to close. Amen. I'm excited about what I taught today. And I'm even more excited about what I'm here to teach you.
Amen.
The subject of forgiveness is very powerful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I am trying to write books. And these days when I write my notes, I'm writing them in book format. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I am still busy finalizing the spiritual eye disorder. Once I'm done with that, I'm going to give it to you for free. And you can share it to anybody. You never know. It can transform somebody's life.
Amen.
And even this forgiveness series, I'm busy writing it. And when I'm done, I'll share it with you again. And by God's grace, you can share with us. Somebody needs to hear these things. If it's not you, somebody may need to hear it. Are you listening to me? You know, one man of God wrote a book about faith. Do you understand? And somebody read the book. When they finished reading the book, they went to their neighbor. And the neighbor had a scar like this here. Do you see what I'm saying? And the neighbor said, the person who read the book went to the person and said, do you see the scar that is on you? The person said, I am the cause of that scar. I am the one who tried to kill you. Do you know what happened? And everything I say is true. Because some of the things I say are so wild that it may be like I'm lying. The scar removed from the person who had the scar and started appearing to the person who was confessing. Just by reading a book. So I've decided to start writing down everything that I teach. Because one day somebody may pick it up, even long after I'm dead, and it could heal their life and can change somebody's life. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope that you are blessed. For inquiries, contact 082-682-6048 or send us an email at info@healingfireministries.com. Or go to our website www.healingfireministries.com. May God be with you.